Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Zach Birchie, my guest this week, returning champion to the show, the director of marketing at Vertical. It's Ed Chavez. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Zach. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
All right. It's been a long day getting ready to go to Anime Weekend Atlanta. So, counting down the hours so I can just get out of the city and maybe enjoy myself, actually.
Yeah, that might be nice for once.
God.
So, how's Vertical doing?
How are we doing? I guess we're doing okay.
That doesn't sound good.
Vertical has always been kind of in a funny situation. Success for us is really relative. Right. Yeah, I made this comment online many times. We haven't necessarily been profitable most of the time, but to actually have a few sustained months of that, particularly in the very recent, very recent few months, has been pretty good. Would I like to see improved sales? Sure, but. Has that transition been very easy? No, we're going through a lot of little growing pains as we're kind of growing and expanding a bit. But things are doing okay actually.
Well, so the company itself is growing. Is that in and of itself responsible for maybe a couple of months of disappointing numbers? I mean, because generally when you expand a company, you got to deal with a little. Loss right up front.
Yeah, no, that has been that's a fact. That has been impacting us on the bottom line. I mean, not just hiring more staff. We've got a couple more production staff here. We used to literally only have how many was it? Two full-time production staff. Now we've got. Two full-time part-time. We've got another person who comes in that also does that. So, a company that used to be just five here in the office and the New York office is now more like eight, nine, now that our CEO is full-time in New York. So, it's a little different. And on top of that, we're also doing more acquisitions. So that's also... additional costs there. So, those are things that we definitely have to take into consideration, and they impact us more. At the end of the fiscal year, which for us is in June. But right now we're going through literally this week we're going through assets evaluation. So, looking at how much our stock is worth. Stock being, books are worth.
Right.
So that's another thing. Like, oh shoot, we've got a whole ton of Twin Speaker Volume 1 that's not going anywhere. Right. Is that all worth like $5, which is what it's worth wholesale? Is it worth 50 cents? It might end up leaning a lot more towards like $1.50 each. So those are little things we have to look at and. I really can't wait to not have to worry about that over this weekend, though.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it'll be nice just to get away from all that. But it sounds like you're just having normal growing pains. What's the bright spot in sales for you right now?
There have been a couple surprises, really. I mean, obviously, everyone knows, Chi has been doing really well for us. Buddha has been strong for us long term. Craft books, cookbooks, we've seen a little resurgence in that. Which is nice because cookbooks are really big at Borders. But we just released some new origami books, and that's been a really big surprise because we've never done anything on that side before, and the initial pre-orders were atrocious, actually, just to be really frank with that. But that's really picked up steam, so we're considering maybe doing more paper craft in the future. 5 centimeters per second, which we publish over the summer, I had a hunch would do relatively well because, you know, Shinkai's got like a fan base, but I didn't expect it to be this big, particularly for like the price point. Like we've already gone to reprint once. That book came out Forsooka July, which is really fast. And we're actually planning on doing another reprint like at the end of next month, maybe. Huh. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy. We haven't had something like that since, literally since Chi or since, like, the Cube book. So we're really excited about that. It's more in tune with what we've been wanting to do for a while, you know, like with GTO, just, you know, 5 centimeters is just, you know, one of those titles that has, like, a tie-in, movie tie-in. So, you know, to actually be justified, I think, feels pretty good on our side.
Yeah, really.
And then after that, the not so much of a surprise, but I'm really glad that people are following through is Sakuran by Moyoko Ano. Not only has Barnes & Noble, like a big vendor for us, really bought into that. They bought like 3,000 copies on their own, but like actual customers are buying that title, and you know, it's 18 up. It's sexy and like, and it's. You know, people come into it thinking it's about geishas, but instead it's about courtesans. So it is a little edgy, but the response has been really good by the critics. And outside of a couple of like a really tiny batch that had a printing problem, seems like readers are really happy with it. So you know, we're going to try to see if we can expand more on the Josei side because you know. Certain fans have been talking it up a lot, and I think it's about time to you know really expand into that a little bit more aggressively.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. So it sounds like some manga, and then mostly your specialty books are kind of
exactly. Yeah. It's that's generally what Vertical's always been about. You know, if anybody has any questions like what our novels are doing. We've been releasing a lot of those this year. They've been abysmal. We only release them because that's what the business was you know founded on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's mainly modern manga. Yeah, not the classics as people think, and yeah, the specialty books, and that's literally been the story for forever. I mean, I think I've said this before. You know, for the longest time, we were really literally. You know, staying in business because we were publishing so much, you know, Sudoku. right. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, so, you know, with that in mind, looking at the landscape, has your attitude towards your acquisitions changed? Are you not so much looking at classics anymore? Or is it like you get to do one of those after you have, like, a smash hit somewhere else?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. You know, we'll always not only release a classic, but we'll always release like a really off the wall, you know, almost extreme type of title, like say the Lychee Light Club.
Right.
Expect one of those type of titles like every 6 months or so, whether it's a classic or just you know a total balls to the walls type of title. But I don't think I was hired to like. License or to just go you know scour the Tezuka library or to you know try to pick out every single Yokoyama or Ishinomori title I think you know our office really appreciates those things and we have them stacked around not all of them you know have that much potential and honestly even with the Tezuka I mean they do well I'll admit that but the circumstances that we have a Tezuka production make them a lot more amicable. You know, if we had to pay as much as we do for some other licenses, maybe not. You know, if Tezuka Productions wasn't so cool about us, you know, repackaging, you know, redoing all the covers and the like, flipping things, which, you know, we go back and forth with them about that. You know, maybe not. I mean, maybe we wouldn't be doing them as often. Maybe they wouldn't be as successful. You know, so you know, we can't always do that with other licenses and with other authors. We weren't able to do that as much with Keiko Takemiya. I can tell you that. Not to say, you know, Tutero didn't do well, because it did, but you know, I think we could have taken a different angle with those titles. And you know, just I think you can ask anybody, whether it's Viz or Dark Horse, you know, even like the specialty manga publishers like, you know, Drawn and Quarterly. Things are a little more current, or things are a little easier to market. Things that have like some brand recognition are just easier to sell, you know. And that's kind of the objective, right? To get these books out to people. So, you know, it's a shame that, you know, we can't. You know, I would love to release, you know, Comet Sun by Yokoyama, but I think I'd be one of 50 people who would buy that book,
right?
Honestly. So, even if it's like the first magical girl manga ever. So,
yeah, it sounds like you're sort of refocusing on, you know, what's actually going to sell rather than stuff that's just mostly just going to be critically acclaimed. You know, not that there's an inverse relationship between the two, but, you know, this happens in anime and really in every form of media. Like, something will be super critically acclaimed.
Right.
That doesn't mean anyone's buying it.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you, like, Twinspeak is our biggest. If there was, like, a Metacritic for manga, like, I think Twinspeak possibly would have been up there, like, with 99% or something.
Right.
Maybe 97%. But since I joined the company, it's our selling title. I mean, outside of GTO the early years, which is, you know, a really awkward license rescue, but those things always don't always translate, I should say. And you know, we do need to, you know, try to pay the additional staff we have and
keep the lights
and
on.
On top of that, like, pay for licenses so and royalties, so you know, there will be more titles like GTO and 5 Centimeters that are going to be acquired. But, you know, alongside of that, we might take a little bit of a risk. You know, something like, you know, Gundam the Origin. Yeah, there's some, you know, brand cachet there. But seriously, we all know how, you know, Gundam is done here. So, you know, that's a little bit more in tune with what we'd like to do as well.
Right. Huh. So, I mean, when you are searching for new titles, it's kind of become this sort of running joke that the manga blogosphere in particular is particularly bad at praising things that will sell or asking you to license things that will sell. Is that basically your experience at this point? You're like, all right, guys, thanks for loving our books, but, you know, I...
Yeah, and the irony there is, I mean, I think we've talked about this just in person before. You know, you don't see as many reviews of like Naruto or, you know, Bleach. I mean, even when it was like first coming out, you know, I mean, there were some people who were looking at it, and obviously, in the most of them were like fans doing it on their own blogs. But you know, were all the you know, manga critics looking at them, you know, analyzing them? Maybe not so much. And you know, sadly, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what's sustaining the industry. And, you know, as much as I would love to, you know, have the Comics Journal look at a title like GTO or Pipochu, you know, I don't necessarily expect that to happen. And I'd much rather be, you know, be picking up titles like Naruto. If someone gave me a chance to release Fairy Tail, I would gladly do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been asked a lot to license Vinland Saga, and we've tried. We've asked many a time, but you know, hasn't happened. And not for you know, reasons that, you know, we definitely think that's going to sell, and we also think it has artistic merit on top of that, but yeah, not always so easy. So trying to find that balance, I think, is something that readers and fans should possibly consider, but I honestly don't expect them to either. I mean, you know, fans are always going to just think with their hearts, and it's reasonable, but and that's understandable, but doesn't always help me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice. As I've said before, it's nice to want things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't always get them. It's not as though you ignore, you know, what they recommend.
Yeah, not at
like
all.
That. You do these big surveys. Which is a very interesting way to sort of let people know what you're considering, and also sort of requesting that they actually give you things that are within your purview. And you've sort of, in these surveys, you outline very specifically, like, here's what we're looking for. It's not like a big open box, like, hey, guys, you know, sky's the limit. I find it very interesting that you're specifically like, no more than 12 volumes, has to be after 2000, not from this publisher, not from this publisher, not from this publisher. Do you find that people still, like, have a hard time staying inside that box when they're recommending things? Or, yeah. I mean, how useful is the data that you get from the survey?
It's hit or miss. Thankfully, the sample size is pretty significant. For the first survey that I did over the summer back in June, we got about 10,000 votes, I think. It's a little smaller this time around. I think we only got 9,700. So, but that's still a pretty good number.
Pretty steady,
honestly.
Yeah.
Once you get figures like that, you can kind of weed things out a little better. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I'm mainly looking at things that are, or considering things that are just like double-digit percentage-wise. If just random people drop in, or just two out of like 9,000 people will vote, you know, nominate something, I'm not going to pay any attention to that as much, just because it skews things really, really drastically. But once I start like vetting a little bit, things really start to balance themselves out a little bit. I will say initially, like for the first week or so, that data was, that was very frustrating, because it was literally the hardcore that were just participating at the time, and it made sense. I mean, those are, you know, possibly our followers on Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. And hadn't necessarily gotten out to as many of the four channelers as I had wished, but eventually it got out there. If I were to just show you the data right now, you'd be like, holy shit, like about a fourth of people who participated clearly did not read any of these rules, or just are not, you know, privy to Google access, you know, just to search whether their title is from Shonen Jump or if their title is being published by Viz right now, which,
right, yeah.
You know, we got people who are asking us to publish Bleach. I mean, you can kind of go to almost any store and buy that. So, the data is really interesting, particularly once I started drilling down into what people have bought from us, what people are looking forward to buying from us, we've got a sample size actually a little larger than what our core is. I think we have about maybe 4,000 or 5,000 core readers. Mm-hmm. So to get almost twice that size was really interesting, and I really panned out when I was asking people, what are they reading from us? About a third of the people who participated had never read a vertical book. So that was really interesting. About 20% of the participants also said, they're not interested in what we're going to be releasing in next year, which I found really interesting, because, that is the lineup for the remainder of the year is, a little more anime heavy. So it does make me wonder, how should I balance out those acquisitions? Because it seems as if people do want a specific thing from vertical.
So What are you seeing out there in terms of major trends, like in sales, in manga, like just in the general landscape, not necessarily just vertical, but how has the landscape of the industry changed in the last year? Because it seems like maybe it's going through maybe some wilderness years, just like anime did after the giant crash in 2006 or 2005-ish. And it seems like you guys are maybe having some wilderness years here, but you know, my interpretation of that might be wrong. So I'm curious, like what your take is on the landscape out there right now.
Yeah, no, I think that analogy is pretty apt. I mean, I think it's very clear that we're in a correction period, and you know, after what happened with Borders, and after so many of the other publishers ended up closing up shop, I think vendors are uncertain with what they want to do. If you go to a Barnes & Noble, shelves that used to be, you know, maybe 5-6 stacks have now been whittled down to 2. One thing you might end up noticing is that more comics are actually placing more orders for manga. It's hard to say if they're going to continue to do that long term, but they're kind of experimenting with that a little bit more right now. You're starting to see some more of the smaller chains, like the Midwest chains, like Hastings and Books a Million out here on the East Coast, that are trying to expand not only their manga shelving, but also just their American comic shelving as well, and graphic novel shelving. It is a really interesting period. It's really cool to see, though, that the companies that have weathered this, most of us are actually, you know, being a little more aggressive now that we have an opportunity to take up a little bit more of that shelf space that is available. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tokyo Pop, you know, they had so many titles, so you know, they were occupying a lot of shelf space back then. Right. So for Yen, and you know, Seven Seas is definitely expanding quite a bit. And, you know, we're doing a lot more. We're starting to see a little bit more from Dark Horse as well. So you know, it's good to see, you know, the midsize and the smaller publishers, you know, trying to do something right now and trying to you know, get the word out and you know, trying to experiment with other things. That said, I think, you know, on the licensing side, maybe something people are noticing a lot more is, you know, I think what we're doing is, as far as looking over titles that have tie-ins, that have some media cachet. I mean, that's pretty much what almost everybody's doing. I mean, you can see Dark Horse licensing or Emo. You know, see Yen Press with Haganai, and Yen Press, Seven Seas doing Haganai when they were mainly just doing, you know, more fan service, like deep fan service type things in Yuri titles previously. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, I think for the most part we're all trying to really capture those readers and maybe create a little bit more of an identity, and then see if those readers, you know, stick with those brands. What the results are, I think they're generally pretty positive. But I don't think we'll ever see the same numbers that we saw, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, where like your average manga, no matter how bad, was selling like almost like 5,000 units on BookScan. Now it's, you know, now a solid title does 1,000 units or 3,000 units on BookScan, and wow, like yeah, like a major hit is, you know, in the 10,000 unit range. When, I mean, I don't know if you got to see those numbers, but you know the Inuyashas and the Narutos and the Bleaches, you know, 5 digits was possible. You know, those volumes would start off right there, you know.
Right.
Some of them would creep into hundreds of thousands. If you're talking about the Death Notes, they're, you know, up near the millions. So, mm-hmm. Those days are gone.
Do you think that's because there just hasn't been a hit, or do you think that it's literally just the manga bubble burst And it's not that there aren't hits, it's that they're just not hitting as big. I mean, it would appear to me, because we've been complaining about this in the anime world for years, that there just hasn't been a hit in a long time. Like, Death Note was kind of the last big success in terms of having any kind of mainstream crossover appeal. And we just haven't seen anything like that in forever. It feels like forever. I'm sure it's only been 4 or 5 years.
But
it's a long time, you know.
I mean, I see your point there. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us had a lot of hopes for titles like Bakuman, and not to, you know, again, Bakuman, if you look at its numbers right now, it's a hit for this day and era. You know, I think Dark Horse is pretty happy with what Gantz is doing. I hope it's, you know, still doing as consistently well, but you know, Nyan, you know, they still have Yotsuba, and you know, Black Butler has been a hit to an extent. I think, but yeah, I don't think anything has resonated as much with the fandom as a whole as what we got, like, when Shonen Jump, the magazine, launched out here. You know, when we got, like, that first wave of Yu-Gi-Oh! And Naruto and, you know, Dragon Ball Z getting reprinted and the like. It's been a while. The bubble, though, from where I'm sitting, that really adjusted a lot of things, just because, you know, you just have fewer places, fewer stores, fewer places for people to actually, you know, sample the books and see all those books. You know, it's just getting harder and harder to, you know, get your mid-range title into every Barnes & Noble or into every comic shop now. And, you know, I think that does impact things because, you know, there's always, you know, a hard time retaining consumers, particularly when you release series. So, you know, if stores just give up on a property mid-run, you know, that pretty much signals the end for, you know, your B-list titles or C-list titles. And, you know, I even wonder what it's like nowadays for like a Berserk, you know? I mean, something that's, you know, 30 something volumes long, you know, is the BNN going to shelve, you know, all those volumes? It's been running for what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe they'll shelve like volumes 1 to 3 and volumes 32 and 34, you know, but what do you do about all those titles in between? You know, who knows?
You pay absurd prices for them on
right? Or you go to like a con and like you know, go to those wholesalers who are selling, you know, 10 manga for like $60 or something.
Yeah. You mentioned the issue with like having super long series, and you seem to have pegged the magic number at 12. Is that just the number that you came to, where it's like after that it's diminishing returns no matter what?
But yeah, actually, for me, it's more like, and this is just because Vertical's numbers are a lot smaller. It's more around like volume 6, and you know, 12.
12 is what you're willing to do.
I'm sorry.
12 is what you're willing to do.
Yeah, exactly. At 12, we're, you know, if something grabs people's attention, actually gets an audience, we are willing to. You know, take that risk and follow through entirely under those circumstances, and you know, we'll you know, release it out on a pretty good schedule, as we've generally done. But you know, anything over that, we're really going into this, I wouldn't even say gray area at that point. We're pretty much into the darkness. You just don't know what vendors are going to be thinking at that point. Because unless you release those books every month, or if you do what Viz did with like Naruto and One Piece briefly, and just, you know, put 4 volumes you know, a month out, you know, a 12 volume series is a 2-year commitment. For not only a publisher, but also, you know, your vendor. So they'll have all that data. You'll have all that data. There's a lot to scrutinize over that. And if things aren't entirely positive, you might not be in the best situation to properly, sell that book.
Wow. So, it sounds like overall you're going through a major market correction. Hard times all around.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily that hard, but it doesn't make things a little different. There were so many properties in the early part of the boom that were so crazy long. It pains me to see Initial D, on indefinite hiatus. I mean, but that thing's, 47 volumes long now, 42 volumes long now. So, I mean, it's just not possible. I don't think anybody has that type of time or those resources, there are still strong titles that are, a dozen volumes long. And I think people can really take advantage of them. I think Yen did a good job with, Bunny Drop and Bride Story. And those are both relatively short series. And, a lot of what Dark Horse releases are pretty short too. They just tend to be, they tend to be ongoing. So, but, Kurosagi Corpse does okay for them, I think. So, whether it's a question of quality, I think there's still plenty for publishers to go after. I just don't expect like everything under the sun to be available as the case 6 years ago.
Right. Speaking of like super long, like can't believe it's still coming out. Isn't Viz still releasing Detective Conan?
I think they're still releasing Detective Conan. I mean, we know that they're still doing Naruto. I don't think they have a choice, right? Oh My Goddess is still running for Dark Horse, which has been almost 20 years now.
Yeah. So I don't even I haven't cracked an Oh My Goddess book in years and years and years. Something tells me that I would not miss too much
right.
if I cracked it open. It'd still be basically the same stuff happening. I don't understand how they got that many years out of that story, but God bless them. If it's still selling for them,
I'm just happy for them that. I'm sure they'd be a little disappointed, but that Blade of the Immortal is about to wrap up.
Yeah,
so.
That's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do? I guess. Are there any titles out there right now where you thought perfect fit for Vertical that whatever reason you couldn't get your hands on?
Well, Vinland Saga is something I think everybody who follows us on Twitter knows. We've been huge on, and we had crazy ideas for that title. We wanted to do it in a hardcover, and we wanted to do it like leather bound, make it really rustic looking, and add in like Norse maps and the like. make that one special, but alas, that's not going to happen. We've also been really big. I don't know if you've heard of this title, but it's by Shogakukan called I Am a Hero. It's by the guy Resentiment and Boys on the Run. It's essentially just a vampire story, but I mean, I'm sorry, a zombie story. But the visuals, so dang good. I've given copies of this series to people who can't read a lick of Japanese, and they totally can understand and comprehend everything that's going on. That's how well it's paneled and drawn, and the action is so good, and the pacing is amazing. I'm really shocked that Viz hasn't released that yet.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they'll get on the ball with that.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Right now, it looks like all their hopes are pinned on Case Closed Volume 44. Comes out on October 9th, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're not still running Ultimate Muscle, are they?
No, I'm pretty sure they canceled that, and I think they may have finally finished Knights of the Zodiac.
Yeah, that's done too.
Surprisingly, can't believe they made the whole thing. All right, okay. Well, let's go ahead and get to your questions on Twitter here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Lindsay Lamb. She's our one of our news people and writes the list. She asks, Vertical wrapped its summer 2013 licensing survey. Some choices were out of left field for Vertical, like Inu X Boku. Is this a sign of genre expansion that you mentioned at your Otakon 2011 panel?
Yeah, definitely. The thing about the survey, though, for people who haven't been familiarized with it or haven't participated, the nominees, the entries that are on there are not suggested by Vertical. Those are all posted up there by our by participants. So we don't necessarily eliminate titles unless they don't fit our criteria. And in that case, I'll just do a little purge, maybe every 2 days or so. So Inu Boku. I'd actually be totally for something like that. I'm not necessarily sure if the Fujoshi crowd is exactly following Vertical right now, or if we're even on their radar at all. But those are titles that our readership is looking forward to, we'll definitely consider them. Obviously we need to speak with the rights holders and the like, and they also have their opinions sometimes, as in the case of Vinland Saga. But if it's available and it's something that seems to somewhat work for us, we definitely give it a chance.
To Anime to Drive asks, after releasing Paradise Kiss, any chance of going after other Aizawa manga like Gokinjo Monogatari?
We would love to. That's a little complicated, and I've stated this a few times online. Yazawa generally has worked with Shueisha for most of her publications. Paradise Kiss is published by another publisher. It was actually, I think, published in a fashion magazine briefly, if I remember correctly. And Shueisha obviously owns Viz. So Viz has most of those options, and that's why they were able to publish Nana. We can definitely check. There's no harm in doing so. I wouldn't put my hopes up that we would be able to acquire those titles, though, mainly because there are other hurdles to go through. But strange things have happened. Gantz is published by Dark Horse, and apparently they did work with Viz Media in some regard for that. So who knows? If things go relatively well for Paradise Kiss and Yazawa or her people are thrilled with what we've done with her brand, maybe they'd be more willing to work with us on a case-by-case basis. So, well, we would definitely pursue something like that, and that's actually something we've thought about already. So we'll see.
Man, Viz got the raw end of the deal on Gantz. If Dark Horse got the comics and they got those live-action movies... sorry.
Wait, you didn't love those movies? I thought,
Oh, no, God.
Hey. Oh, man. They screened them in L.A. and San Francisco also?
Yeah, at the at Man's Chinese.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they had a big premiere and everything. It was nice. It was a nice event. It's just I wish the movie was better. Okay.
Yeah.
Vince A. asks, will Vertical be taking part in the surge of Barda manga in the U.S. like Picturebox is?
not in the immediate future, but who knows what will happen down the line. Interesting story about that. We were actually asked about that title when it was in production. Annie Shi, who used to work for Vertical, who was actually my predecessor, is, I believe, the translator for that. So she was trying to find a home for that title. And we looked at it. It was a little too racy for us, but yeah, who knows? I mean, just as long as it's not clearly explicitly 18 and up. We've done things that are a little out there before, so it wouldn't be entirely shocking if we were to do something like that in the future.
Okay. Land of Obscusion asks, when will you license the Space Brothers manga just so Ed can prove to everyone that you're right about the anime?
Wow. I'm extremely familiar with Space Brothers. Actually, it was something that was being worked on while I was still at Kodansha. And everybody in this office loves that title. We actually feel it's like one of the top five manga out there right now. But because of those same reasons, I'm really familiar with some of the specifics about that property. I think there are about like 19 volumes in Japan. There were plans for somewhere between maybe 24 to 32 volumes for that series. We simply can't afford that. Once we start getting to about 15, 16 volumes, and generally you have to pay for licenses almost entirely up front, depending on the publisher. If you're working with a big publisher like Kodansha or Shueisha, that's usually the case. So we really don't have that money. We'd much rather pay staff than devote all that to one series that, while very good, might not burn it up sales-wise. So instead, we'd reserve that cash for keeping our production values relatively well, relatively good, and maybe picking up a couple of other titles that are maybe half as long but just as solid. So while we would love to at this point, I don't think it's very probable.
He adds as an addendum also Yokohama Shopping Log.
Yikes! Now this guy's just trolling. No, that title, I think other publishers have options, have or can access property. I personally can't do that title.
Okay. Also from Vince Ace asks, does licensing of the Queensblade art book mean you're going to be looking at more art books, or are you going to be looking at more large-breasted content?
I could say as a boob fan. Art books, definitely. We've actually been trying to do that for a little while now. Most people who think about Vertical and particularly the merger we had, the investment we had last year, mainly focused on the Kodansha side, but half of the company is invested into by a major Japanese printer called Dai Nippon Printing. And they are more than happy to introduce us to art book publishers, as it would definitely help their bottom line to print such books. So we're definitely looking into them. What's a little tricky with art books, particularly if the properties have committees involved, it's trying to get clearance through everybody. With Queensblade, it was pretty darn easy. Hobby Japan pretty much owns all those rights. Mm-hmm. There's this other thing, I can't share it online because we're still in process. But I've been working on for literally like a year and a half to try to get all the approvals. Yeah, it's a process that is giving me some growing pains, but yeah, we definitely expect more art books in the future. Maybe two or three a year.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Okay, Vinny Av AGC asks, "What do you find to be the most surprising successful manga?"
Do you have an idea if he means for us or just in general?
I guess both.
Okay. For us. I would say 500 meters per second. While we did have high hopes for that title, one thing that people might notice immediately is that we omnibused that book, that series. And honestly, if we knew it was going to be that much of a success, we wouldn't have done that. We would have made a little more money if we published two volumes instead. But we're really stoked by the fact that it's, resonated with a broad fan base, at least from the sound of things, because it's selling in a number of channels. So that's always very nice to see. Whether we're going to focus on other titles that are similar to it, I really don't know. That's kind of a unique story, considering how melodramatic and compact it is. But it's something that we'd like to replicate again. Just in general, I'm really thrilled to see that Yen Press's Bride Story is doing very well for them. That's another title we were actually looking into a few years back. And I'm glad that they were able to step things up as far as quality is concerned and give it a hardcover treatment with the dust jacket and everything. Bill Flanagan is also translating that, so I think they did a good job of getting someone who was capable in that regard too. So, for a book that's, doesn't have an anime tie-in, that it has a very unique subject matter, it's a Josei title, it's a little more expensive, and to see the numbers are pretty strong, not a major hit, but very strong. It really makes me feel comfortable about what the market is like right now. So it's good to see titles like that find a place now.
Right. Okay. Last question from Hazukari. Since you are releasing Gundam Origin, is there a chance that if that sells well, you'll pick up some other Gundam stuff?
Yeah, definitely. We're actually already looking into some other Gundam stuff. Just so we can be ahead of the game. So we're, talking to Kadogawa Publishing about sending us review copies for other properties underneath the Gundam umbrella. One thing that I've try to focus on, though, is Origin, really unique. It's a class, kind of like a modern classic. So we're doing it in a hardcover with some color plates and big omnibus. So each book is like 440 pages or so. I would like to do something similar with whatever other Gundam property we would pick up in the future if that were to happen. So we'd have to make sure that the story itself is strong enough, or that the themes are deep enough, complex enough that it deserves that special treatment. I don't know if we would give G Gundam a hardcover, even though it's like that would be nice for the lols, but something more in tune with like some really edgy Char story or something might end up working out relatively well.
Cool. All right, man. Well, that about wraps it up. As always, thanks so much for coming on by it and sharing your insight. That was it was all very interesting to hear.
Yeah, no problem. Maybe some of it sounded a little gloomy, but I don't necessarily think things are all that bad right now. I think people just have to understand that. Yeah, it is. We are a little bit in the dark as to what the future will be like, but. I think a lot of decisions that are being made right now are leading us to a pretty good place. So, I don't think readers should despair too much.
Well, we're all rooting for you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks a lot.